Welcome to Bimmercast number 35. It is November 5th, 2010. We're going to be talking about a bunch of stuff tonight. We've got a lot of varying topics, everything from the X3, 28i, to the A3 and why it is pretty compelling, apparently. We're going to be talking, of course, a little bit about the 1M high-pressure fuel pump, and Michael has got some inside scoop on that. And what else do we have, Michael?
All sorts of great stuff about PS2s and cold, wet weather.
All right, stay tuned. Okay, so we are back this week with a ton of stuff. First off, Michael, you mentioned cold, wet weather. We've got a windstorm going on right here in Chicago. In fact, it was sleeting this evening. And, of course, I've got my Bridgestone REO 10, I can't even remember. But let's just say it was they weren't happy.
No, I have the PS2 still on my M3, and they really feel like big wheel tires. It's kind of fun, but not safe at the same time. So going to be hopefully getting some Dunlop M3s on that bad boy soon. Those, in my opinion, are the best high-performance snow tire on the market for people that live in areas that are not always snow-covered.
Yeah, I would agree they're really solid tires. To be honest with you, I can't even, because it's been a full season, I can't remember what tires I have out in my garage for my ZHP, but I've had the Dunlop M3s before, and they are fantastic.
Yeah, I have no complaints at all. They actually have some pretty decent dry traction, and they're reasonably quiet. So yeah, they're good.
Well, and that's one thing that, you know, snow tires. There's lots of different kinds of snow tires. When snow tires first burst onto the scene, and they've been around for a long time, but when they first started to get popular, everybody knew the name Blizzak. You know, it was Bridgestone's winter tire, and you know, what it did well was drive in snow. What it didn't do well is anything else. And it was noisy. When you went around a corner, they sort of collapsed. They wore out quickly. It was just not a great tire for anything other than snow. And snow tires have gotten a lot better since that time. And you've got tires that are meant to be predominantly driven on dry, cold roads, but can soak up the snow and spit it out when needed. And you know, the Dunlops, obviously a good example there. Bridgestone does make some Blizzaks that do that as well. Of course, you've got Pirelli snow tires and Michelins as well.
Yeah, absolutely. The Pirelli is so damn expensive, I can't justify it.
Yeah, well, they're plated in gold.
Oh, well, that's true. They're made in Italy or something. Mm-hmm. Right.
So let's talk about, we left off last week talking a little bit about the X3. And we had a review on the site talking about the X3 35i, which is of course the high end X3 with the it's twin power in Europe, right?
Well, it's twin power here now. Twin power here. Also.
Okay, so it's the twin scroll, yes. 3 liter inline six turbo.
Yes. Anything that has multiple scrolls is called twin power.
It's a great engine. You know, N55 is what it's known as. We've talked about it ad nauseum. It's in, I think, every BMW. It's offered in every BMW that I can think of, with the exception of the X6, maybe?
X6 and Z4, yeah.
And Z4, right. But there is another X3 out there, and that is the naturally aspirated, and this is what I believe will be the last naturally aspirated BMW vehicle sold in the U.S., the X3 28i. And Michael, you had a chance to drive this car.
I did. I did have a chance to drive it, and I'm happy to say that it actually impressed me, Gabe. I thought it was going to be, you know, underpowered and just choking, and it really wasn't. It was quite an effective engine in that car. You know, there's a great motor.
It's the naturally aspirated magnesium block 3 liter that has been around, and this is an iteration on it, but it's been around since late 05 when it came out, when BMW came out with the E90. And as you know, there are several versions of it. There was the 230-ish horsepower version, which is the low-end 3 Series, and now, of course, the low-end X3. And then there was that 270-ish version that was the high-end 330. And I believe it's still sold in Europe as well. And then, of course, that was only around for a few years before the turbos sort of sprang out of nowhere.
Yeah, and in the X3, it's actually quite appropriately powerful, to be honest with you. I mean, you're not going to be drag racing in an X3 for any sort of time. And
well,
you know,
you're not, but I guarantee you somebody will.
That's true. I mean, the fact is it's mainly going to be driven by people to move masses of people. You know, it's really going to be a utilitarian vehicle, three kids.
I question that. I think it's going to be driven by a mom with a kid in the back eating an ice cream cone.
You think so?
That, in my mind, when I close my eyes, that's what I see an X3 used for.
Okay, I see a mom, maybe a dad, a couple of kids.
Starbucks.
Bike rack, you know, that kind of deal.
Well, maybe you're more optimistic than I am.
it could be. But for all intents and purposes, the 28i, we'll call it, is going to be the version that sells more numbers. I mean, well, most people are going to opt for that.
Yeah, and you know... For those who followed the X3 saga, and we were no huge fans of the previous X3. I think that's maybe not necessarily true. I know I always liked the car, but the fact of the matter was it was really long in the tooth, and BMW really tried to do a lot to move those cars. They eliminated the low-end model, and they just had that high-end or that high-power inline-six non-turbo pumping out like 265 horsepower. So now BMW's gone back to the two-model strategy, which I think is the right strategy if you have a product that stacks up well against the Q5, for instance.
Yeah, and I think the X3 in the 28i form does stack nicely against the lower-end Q5. The other advantage is that the new generation X3, while it's bigger, actually weighs like 225 pounds less than the outgoing model.
No kidding, really?
Yeah, it does. So it's bigger, but it's lighter, and that's
we haven't talked about that. It's the first I've heard of that, actually.
No, it's actually pretty neat because it's, you know, the use of more aluminum and higher strength steel at less weight. And the other thing is, you know, they've eliminated a spare tire, Gabe, and that's automatic weight savings. Right
there you go. That's 100 pounds. Well, not quite. That's probably about, what, 30 for the wheel, 30 for the tire, 60 pounds right there.
Yeah. That's exactly right. You know, when you cut some weight with the wiring, because they're using advanced wiring in this vehicle. So, you know, there's weight savings here all over the place in this thing. So this lower-powered motor actually is quite adequate for it. And with the eight-speed transmission, the lockup being instant, you don't have that, like, tendency for it to have this, like, lag, and then all of a sudden it goes like the previous car did. The transmission, I think, honestly, makes all the difference.
And that eight-speed that's in pretty
amazing.
Let's just say a lot of BMWs these days, it is amazing. And if you listen to the show and if you read the website, you know that we're not lovers of the automatic transmission. But for a torque converter style transmission, I can't imagine it getting much better.
No, absolutely not. I mean, you can skip gears, you can do whatever you want with the thing, and it does it like that. And it's efficient. I mean, that's the other thing, too. This vehicle is more efficient than the old one, whether it's because of the weight, the aerodynamics, the motors, the transmission, so it's better fuel economy in the long run. But the thing I came away with the most from driving it was actually the steering feel. It's using the electric power steering system, so everybody hates it automatically. Oh, it's got no feel. It has feel. It has the feel you need. It doesn't have all this extraneous crap feel that has nothing to do with anything, and it's just road noise. When I drove the X3, it was wet, there were leaves, and I was testing it to see if I actually, you know, if I was just sliding and I wasn't feeling anything. No, you could feel the point of loss of grip. You could feel the point of, oh crap, you have no grip whatsoever and the DSC is going to kick in. Mm-hmm. It was pretty amazing, actually, to me, to feel it that way in this vehicle. And of course it understeers. It's not meant to be a performance vehicle in any stretch of the imagination. And the vast majority of people feel safer when things understeer. So that's what it's tuned for. But You know, body roll's minimum, road noise was minimum, and honestly, the latest generation of run flats are not as abusive as they have been. I mean, I'm not saying that they're perfect. I'm no fan of run flats in the sense of comfort, but these are actually not half bad.
Yeah, that paints a pretty positive picture, and we had a positive review on the site as well. You know, the X3, I think, is, as we know, is it's a product that BMW has needed for a long time because it's a really profitable market, and it sounds to me like BMW has hit a very, very solid, we'll call it a standing double.
Yeah,
and absolutely. They're looking good. They're looking really good.
And it comes standard with Bluetooth, and it comes standard with iDrive, but not with navigation. So
you've got that little tiny screen in the middle of the car there. So let's talk about the X3 and what it means for the 3 Series, because things get interesting with the F25, because the F25 is built on, we'll say, the backbone, if you will, of the next 3 Series. The next 3 Series is going to have the same modular architecture. It's going to have the same... the electronic system. I can't remember the acronym off the top of my head.
The Flex, it's going to have the latest generation FlexRay, but it's also going to have a low voltage system by Harman, and it's also going to use new microchips that are also low voltage and to control efficiency throughout the entire vehicle, not just with the motor.
So you've got all the weight saving, we'll say, that went into the X3. You would imagine it would show up in the next generation 3 Series as well.
Yeah, and the X3 architecturally is going to be similar as far as the electronics and the modules and things like that. And, you know, the drivetrain is going to be similar. The suspension is going to be similar. I mean, realistically, the suspension in the X3, if I remember correctly, is based on the current 5 Series. So it's actually based loosely on the F10, and then the xDrive system is actually out of the current generation 3 Series, essentially, with the upgrades that the 7 Series saw with the torque vectoring ability.
Really interesting.
So it's a progressive, it's progressively getting to where we want to be. I think the biggest departure is that the X3 comes standard with iDrive. In the past, we didn't have that, and certain models in the past, say E90, didn't come standard with iDrive. But going forward, I think it's pretty obvious to see that iDrive will be standard.
Well, and I think that's my next question. Is it seems to me that iDrive without navigation is definitely coming to the next 3 Series. But are we going to be saddled with that damned 4-inch screen or whatever it is? I mean, because that's a little...
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I think honestly it's actually the same size the old navigation screen used to be, and they've just gotten, you know...
Maybe the E46 screen, but it looks small. Isn't it a 10.2-inch screen right now?
The nav?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that the regular iDrive is, I want to say, 6.5, where... In the E90, I'm pretty sure it's almost like a 7-inch screen. Hmm. And then the 5 Series, it gets bigger. 7 Series, it gets bigger.
Interesting.
But, I mean, realistically, what the iDrive is really going to be used for in this, though, is your phone, the Bluetooth.
Yeah. No, I
Because they've pretty much true. Made the climate controls back on the dash and all that. So it's not like the E60 was where you had to do, basically do everything through the iDrive in the base form. I think it's pretty much going to be programming the lights, doing this, Bluetooth for your phone, your iPod stuff up in there, because all that's going to start becoming standard. It has to. I mean, you can go get a $13,000 Kia, and it's got an iPod port.
Yeah, you're totally right. There's no question it has to be standard.
I mean, and I think we also may see BMW Assist at some point become standard, too. It just seems like they're moving in that direction. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Well, let's move on. We've got something else to cover, and Michael, maybe you could introduce it. You know, we tend to not. I mean, we're BMW fans here, and we're not. We don't have our heads in the sand when it comes to other cars. I mean, we featured a review of the Tesla this week on Bimmerfile. We talk a lot about Audis. We talk a lot about Mercedes. And sure, we make fun of them, but we also praise them when there's need. Michael, you have, I think, a really good position to talk about a very specific Audi.
Yeah, we have a new car in the driveway, as many people have known. I've had Audis consistently, and my wife is a very large fan of theirs, and we now have another Audi product parked in the driveway next to the M3.
Really?
When it came down to it all, yeah, no, we have an A3, and we needed a hatch. We have a little man, and he has stuff, and it's easier to get his stuff into a place that has a hatch. And we really honestly couldn't wait for the X3 to come to market, or we couldn't wait for the X1 to come to market. Mm-hmm. And basically, we were priced out of the 3 Series wagon equipped similar to an A3. It's that simple. I mean, 15 grand gets you a 3 Series wagon comparably equipped. And, you know, I couldn't justify that cost increase, to be honest with you. And surprisingly enough, the A3 is... it's actually a really fun car, and it has adequate room for our needs right now. And did I mention that it's a hatchback?
Yeah, yeah.
And it has a dual-clutch transmission, Gabe.
Yeah. Now, I've always been impressed or intrigued, I should say, by the A3. No question about it. It's really going to be interesting to see what BMW does with the next generation 1 Series, because... you know, and I mean, maybe not in this market, but it's going to grow, and it's going to have to become a little bit more of a family car, because the A3 is really compelling, and it hasn't sold super well in the U.S. But I think I would guess the sales have gone up, if anything.
Yeah, they've gone up since launch, and you know, the other interesting thing is obviously it's front wheel drive, and you lose some of the feel. And all that, and yes, the steering is overboosted. But you know what? To be honest with you, to me that matters. To my better half, it doesn't. She could care less. Yes, she misses the feel of the heavier weight of the BMW steering and a little bit firmer pedal feel of the BMW, the 3 Series, the E90. But in the end, price and functionality had to overcome all that. And BMW, honestly, we wanted to stay with the BMW, but we couldn't justify the 1 Series, A, because it's two doors, and B, his car seat doesn't even fit in the thing.
Yeah, really?
No.
Oh, it's rear-facing?
Yeah.
Yeah, rear-facing won't work on the 1 Series. You got to go front-facing.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, he's, you know...
yeah, he's too small for that.
Too small. So, yeah. I mean, his car seat wouldn't even fit in the damn thing. So,
yep. Soon, Michael, you're going to be able to invest in a Recaro front-facing car seat, and it'll look really good in the back of a 1M, for instance.
For example, do you know, Gabe, that they actually make a carbon fiber Recaro?
A car seat?
Yes.
Well, I do know a lot about Recaro baby seats, but I haven't heard about this. So consider my interest piqued.
It's quite expensive, and you have to order it from Germany, and it's very limited. But I think we're going to get there. Now, the money saved on buying the A3 gets the little man carbon fiber.
Well, and hopefully he never grows again, because that's the only seat you're ever going to buy for him, I assume.
Absolutely.
So let's move on a little bit. Well, I mean, I shouldn't say move on.
Oh, wait, I forgot to mention, Gabe.
Yeah.
It's non-quattro.
So non-quattro, it is a front wheel drive Audi. Why would you go that route?
Well, I went that route because I've been doing a lot of thinking, Gabe. And to me, I couldn't understand why I needed the quattro system for the, I don't know, 8 days a year that we get snow that actually is difficult to drive in.
I'm slow clap applauding you right now, because I so think that is the correct mindset when it comes to that sort of situation. That,
you know, it's like $2,200 plus the parasitic loss in fuel economy, plus the added weight we're dragging around.
Yeah, it's like you're dragging a trailer around with you.
And you know what? The other cool thing about Audis right now with this A3, Gabe, I can go onto Tire Rack and get steel rims for the winter.
Really?
Yes.
It's like a Mini.
It's like a Mini, Gabe. That's exactly what it was. You know what? And we looked at the Mini Clubman, and she hated it.
Well, and it's acquired taste. Now, what would you have said if the Countryman was out there? That's
we probably honestly would have gotten the Countryman.
That's kind of the not really elephant in the room. It's the very small elephant in the room. But having driven, and this is where I want to sort of chime in here a little bit. I have not driven an A3 in many years, if I remember right. I think I drove it right when it came out. But I did very recently drive both the Volkswagen GTI 2011 brand new four-door GTI with the DSG. And as you may know, if you follow Motoring File, I've driven every flavor of Countryman. I've driven it on the track. I've driven it on the road. I've driven it everywhere. And I've written three different reviews four different reviews on the Mini Countryman. And I would have to agree with you. I really liked the GTI quite a bit. There are areas that I think it is decidedly better than the Mini. But at the same time, I mean, for instance, DSG instead of automatic. I mean, of course, DSG is 100 times better than Mini's automatic. Well, why would Mini even offer an automatic? Well, it's because Mini doesn't have the buying power of the Volkswagen Group to go out and invest in extremely complex dual clutch transmission for a $25,000-$26,000 car. It's one of those things that it comes inherent in the VW brand, the fact that they make basically everything. They can do stuff like that. But that said, they have cheapened the hell out of that car. The current GTI, there are places that feel shockingly cheap compared to the previous one. And
yeah, I could see that, and that's the way they differentiate the VW brand versus the Audi brand.
Well, and it's shocking in that having driven the Mini recently, the new Countryman is, I would say, the interior is actually more upscale than the GTI, which is quite a change if you've followed Mini and VW over the past years. I would also say that the engine, the 1.6 liter, definitely trumps the 2 liter in the VW, just as far as fun. The twin scroll gives you power down low. It gives you power up high. It's really a lot more fun engine. The transmission, the manual transmission in the Mini, and I've driven many manual transmissions in Audis and VWs, I've never liked the vagueness of the Audi transmission. And the Mini transmission, while it's not perfect, it's certainly a solid transmission, solid 6-speed Getrag with good feel and good precision. I have to basically, in a long-winded response, agree with you that the Countryman would probably have gotten your money and would get my money if I was cross-shopping the GTI A3 or the Countryman.
Yeah, it's just not out yet. And then the X1's not coming till May, folks.
Right.
You get a lot of inquiries on the site, and I'm finally just going to drop that there.
The X1 is, I think it's going to sell like hotcakes. And I hate to use that euphemism, but when people realize that they can go out and buy an X1 that is a little bit smaller than the previous X3, and it's going to be priced, and we're just guessing here, but I would say on the right side of $30,000 for the low end.
Yes.
It's going to be a pretty compelling package.
And could you imagine that it might actually be cheaper than the 3 Series wagon?
Well, and
getting expensive,
do we want to talk? Let's not talk about the 3 Series wagon. We should have a whole show devoted to that car, because I think you and I are both big fans of that car. The 3 Series wagon is I think it's always been the best deal in the BMW USA or BMW NA fleet, but the X1 looks to take over the reins there.
Yeah, could you imagine that?
Well, I just get excited when I think about a 4-cylinder diesel rear-wheel drive X1.
And what makes you think that might come to the U.S.?
Well, I don't know, actually, to be honest with you. I don't know. I would suspect that a little thing called 2015 and the new EPA standards may give us a fighting chance for that.
Yeah, or it might only be offered in, say, a 28i version initially.
True. And, of course, it's going to be a lighter car, so 230-some horsepower, maybe. Right, but I would be surprised if that 28i sticks around for very long.
Yeah, I think it might die out quickly and be replaced by, say, I don't know, four-cylinder petrol power plants.
Yeah, maybe a 2-liter. I'm just guessing here.
It could be, hypothetically, with a couple of turbos. I'm not sure.
Twin scroll, perhaps.
Yeah, perhaps.
So X1, X3, GTI, and the A3, there's a lot there to choose from. I think, you know, the A3 has always been, just to sum it up, always been kind of my favorite Audi, next to the RS4, of course, just because the packaging is just so right. And there's nothing really like it in the U.S. from BMW, and it's kind of depressing, except for the forthcoming Countryman.
Yeah, yeah. Had no choice.
Yeah, I love the fact that your hands were tied there. Hands are tied.
And no choice. It's not my car. Not my decision in the end. So
yeah.
But you know what? It's safe. It's fairly quality built, and can't complain.
And you know what? If you please your wife. I mean, there's worse things in the world.
That's half the battle.
Absolutely. So let's talk about BMW's other small car. And, of course, we talk about it a little bit every show. We've had a couple shows devoted to it. And it's the car that a lot of people have been talking about, for better or worse. The 1M is, of course, the next M product to come out. It'll be shortly followed by the M5. But the 1M is going to be interesting, to say the least. I mean, at the very least, you can call it interesting. It will have, of course, an N54. We've talked about this ad nauseum. N54, 340-ish horsepower, 370 foot-pound of torque on overboost. It's going to have basically the entire M3 drivetrain with that engine. So that means same transmission, manual transmission only, of course. Same trick limited slip, same seats, same steering wheel, same shifter, same everything in a smaller, lighter package. And it sounds fantastic to me. Sounds fantastic to a lot of people. And recently there's a pre-drive in Germany, and my favorite automotive journalist, Chris Harris from Evo, had a chance to get behind the wheel and actually did a quick video about the car. And he's the kind of guy who, you know, he thinks the E92 M3 is, well, not a disappointment, not as good as the E46. He's the kind of guy who loved the E30. He is a critique of the M brand, because he loves the M brand, and he loved the 1M. He absolutely loved it. And I think, in fact, the quote that sticks out in my mind is, "It feels like BMW M is making the car it should be making." And it's, you know, it kind of, he goes on from there. I mean, this is the car that enthusiasts should want him to make. That's pretty high praise.
Yeah, it's a pretty ballsy comment, too. Because it's kind of trash and everything else that M's making. that's the way I look at that. But, you know, the only thing that still I'm kind of on the fence about is you don't have a bespoke motor.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
To go from the M3 with this kick-ass V8 that's just, like, sensational, to basically a juiced-up IS motor, I mean, that's where I have my issue with this.
Mm-hmm.
But I also believe that they made some other changes that we're not hearing about, and that the motor is going to be more M-oriented than just, you know, a chip and some tuning.
I think so, too. It's just that I don't know exactly what that is. My guess is software is going to play a part in that.
Yeah, I would like to see, you know, larger turbos, because around, you know, 6,500, those little turbos in that M54 to kind of start losing gas.
Well, but if you watch that video and you listen to Chris's comments, I mean, he talks about there being power up high, and he also talks about throttle response up high, which is not something that the N54 is known for.
Right, and that's why I think that there's got to be more than software. Because, you know, the problem with it up that high is that the motor's taking in more air than those baby turbos can actually put out. So that's why it ends up dropping off. Even if you increase the boost up there, you still don't have enough air to feed the actual cylinders. So They must have done something different. Either it's plumbing, or they use slightly larger turbos, or, you know, they might have even kept the same housing and just say, put a bigger impeller in, maybe? I don't know. But they have to have done something.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, I know there's a tuner that's currently doing that.
And well,
and that gives you that high-end power just by changing the inside scrolls, the size of the scrolls, rather than changing the actual turbo housings.
That's really interesting. I mean, you know, I can't help but think that the 1M is going to be fantastic, and I'm just going to say that everything that I've read about, everything I've seen, the people I've talked to who are intimately sort of knowledgeable around the 1M, everything seems to point to something really special.
Yeah, I do not doubt that. I think the car is going to be fantastic. And the other benefit of this whole 1M thing is there's never going to be probably another 1M if sources are to believe that the next 1 Series coupe will actually be a 2 Series. So we'll have an M2, but there will be no 1M.
That's really, really true. The 1M... And here's the other thing about the 1M. I mean, you can imagine this is what's going to happen with the next generation 1 Series, which could be a 2 Series as far as the two-door coupe is concerned. It'll be wider. What does that mean? Well, I can almost guarantee you will never have rear fenders as audaciously wide as you're going to get on the 1M.
No, yeah, the 1M fenders are just sick.
I mean, you'll never get that again. The other thing you won't get is a car that is that small with 19-inch wheels. All the next generation 1 or 2 Series, whatever you call it, is going to have a higher belt line. I mean, I've seen the next generation 1 Series when I was in Germany. I've stood next to it. Its belt line's higher. It's a broader car. The interior is wider. It's just a slightly bigger car, and you'll never quite have that same look. It's a lot. I look at it as the E46 versus the E90, and you know, no offense, Michael, you've got an E90, and I love the E90, but the E46 just looked right. It looked perfect as far as the tire wheel ratio to the belt line. It was just great. The E46 CSL, for instance, with those 19-inch wheels, just looked fantastic. You put those same wheels on the E92.
They look small,
and it looks. It's a great looking car. Don't get me wrong. It's more aggressive. There's a lot of things to love about it, but it does lose something there. And I think the 1M is going to be special for a lot of reasons visually as well.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, and you're going to start seeing a little bit more of it and unveiling and all that great stuff coming up. Actually, it's not too far away, Gabe.
No, not too far away at all. So we have, let's see, a couple other things. I drove a Tesla. I had a Tesla for a little while. I don't know what I don't know what I can expand on after the review, but it was pretty incredible, to be honest with you. I had some time on the track with it. 100% electric, no noise, absolutely surreal.
Yeah, it sounded like it from the review. It sounded like it was just like, you, steering wheel, road.
Yeah, and tires. You can hear what the tires are doing.
Yeah, which is amazing.
Yeah, speaking of hearing things, F10 M5 is starting to sound a little better.
That is going to be a monster. That is going to be a fire-breathing dragon of sorts. That thing is just going to be insane.
Yeah, it's... I have to say, I think this car is going to be incredible. My only thing is I'm really concerned that M ended up not doing a whole lot with the weight of the car.
Are you sure it's not all-wheel drive?
Well, I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I'm as far as like the carbon fiber roof and all that, I don't think that's going to be in this car. I don't know if you can justify it. I mean, how many cars do they sell, and how much are they going to charge? I mean, this thing's already going to be like around, what, $100,000?
Well, how many cars are they going to sell without a sunroof?
4.
I mean, the second that BMW offers a carbon fiber roof with a hole and a sunroof in the middle of it, it's like, I mean, the shark has been jumped.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you know, but I don't know.
Shark was jumped.
I don't know. We'll see. It's going to be definitely a departure, I think, from what the E60 M5 was.
There's a lot of folks out there who've talked about the E60 being the better driver's car, better than the F10. What's your take on that?
I disagree. I think that the E60 had much more body flex, and so thus chassis flex, and thus imprecision. I think the F10 is much more precise.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people just want to bitch about the electronic power steering, and for what it's worth. You know, I guess you could agree with that, because we really didn't like the Z4 when the Z4 first came out with it, and then, you know, they upgraded the system in the IS, and they changed the software. And that was a night and day difference. So,
well, it is a little sad, though. I mean, looking at Z4s the other day, I mean, if you can't buy the normal Z4 if you want to have that great steering feel. And if you need to go to the IS, well, sure, it's an extra, I don't know, so many thousand dollars. But it also eliminates the ability to get a manual transmission. So, you know, it is kind of frustrating, I think. If BMW can solve the problem with electronics, then solve the problem across the board.
They may. You know how these things roll out. They kind of roll out either September or March. For future reference, people, if a car launches in March, you don't buy it till September. Bam. Because there's always an improvement with September. Yeah. That's all I have to say. It's just a little knowledge. Just something to keep in the back of your mind.
It's true. So, speaking of improvements, there's been one story that has gotten a lot of traction. N54 is an engine that I think has been universally acclaimed, no question about it. BMW's first twin turbo inline six engine, and it has, by and large, served owners well. But there's been one recurring problem, that's failure of the high pressure fuel pump, and BMW now has an official recall and an answer for that.
Yes. I'm going to try to keep this as simple as possible. The high-pressure fuel pump was manufactured by a supplier. The supplier went bankrupt. It was engulfed by another company, and the fuel pump kind of got dispersed a little bit, and changes were made, and maybe quality control wasn't where it should have been. Hypothetically, that's my take on it. This is nothing official. But all said and done, some of the cars were affected with this fuel pump, and it may or may not actually be the fuel pump. It could be a component that, say, regulates pressure. And this part may have slight issues. And when these issues occur, the car thinks that the fuel pump is, say, crapping out. Not necessarily. The fuel pump may not be crapping out, but the car gets a code sent to it, and it thinks that the fuel pump is said crapping out, and then puts the car into safe mode. Safe mode, we come to find out, may have a different occurrence in certain vehicles. So if safe mode in one car is that the turbos basically are bypassed, the wastegate opens, and you end up with a 150 horsepower motor and 100 pounds of torque, which is completely drivable, it's smooth, I've been through it, I had no issues. It feels like almost, there's no hiccup actually, it's just kind of like, where the hell did the power go? And you slow down, but you can still actually go, no problem. It's not a big deal, you can drive the car, it's just slower than crap. I mean, in normal 335, 0 to 60 on a wet day, say, is about 6.7 seconds. With the car in safe mode, and the wastegate's open and the turbo's not engaged, you can do 0 to 60 in about never. It won't actually do 0 to 60 in any amount of time that's worth calculating. So you can say like 20 seconds. So basically you go from having a high-performance vehicle with 300 horsepower that's fast, it's got response and everything, to driving a Volkswagen diesel, essentially, is what happens when it goes into safe mode in this friendly version. But in some vehicles, for some reason or another, it goes into safe mode B, where it actually deactivates some cylinders, it thinks that there's a foul plug, or there's an injector problem, and so you end up with a rougher, more violent safe mode, which while still is drivable, it's not pleasant at all to drive, from what I've been told. I have not experienced this yet. I hope to experience that and get some videos up on the site of the cars going through various safe modes.
It's interesting. So, if I'm an owner, what's my next move?
Well, BMW will be mailing out letters to the cars that are inflicted with these issues, and you know it's all going to be covered under warranty. They've actually extended the warranty on pretty much all of the N54 motors. And this isn't really a safety recall; it's an emissions recall because it causes all sorts of pollutants because it's not being properly channeled through the turbos and burning off some of that stuff and yada yada yada. Really, it's an emission system issue that's part of the high pressure fuel pump and why the direct injection and sulfur and there's all sorts of issues with the emissions, but it shouldn't cause any damage to the car. It's really just a matter of annoyance in the end. And what they're going to do is either give you a software update or a new pump, or depends on where the car is. There's so many variables with this because it extends over such a long period of time. And there have been, I think, 4 revisions of the pump and fuel pressure regulator and software. And so each car has got its own recall status, I guess you could say. The N55, on the other hand, not affected at all.
So the N55 is, of course, the N55 is a younger engine, so...
Yeah, and actually all the motors, N54 motors, I believe, since March are also not affected. So March 10, because that would be the latest revision of the pump, and that seems to be the happy pump.
Hmm. The happy pump?
It's the happy pump system.
I think that's absolutely the official name. There's no question about it.
It's the happy pump. It seems to like working.
No question in my mind. Angry pumps don't like to work. You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
there's no
question
about that.
It's a happy pump. You know, it could be all of the fabulous Samuel Adams beard this evening. But
could be. That makes you a happy man.
Absolutely.
And we haven't done that. It's a tradition. We haven't done it in so long. Tonight I'm drinking the Bell's Third Coast Old Ale. It doesn't taste old, but it tastes fantastic, and it sounds like you've got Samuel's.
Dunkelwiesen, a dark wheat beer.
There you go. That sounds fantastic as well.
Quality stuff.
Let's see. What else to cover in this week's Spammercast? BMW just released the Concept C. It's a highly efficient.
Gag me.
Scooter. I knew you would hate this thing. I actually think it's pretty cool.
It's something that Mini should have took care of. Don't they have one of these scooter things?
That was what I was going to say. I think the Mini scooter is much more interesting. This is a high performance scooter, if you will.
Who is buying a high performance scooter? You buy a scooter to be a guy that sits on there and reads his newspaper.
Yeah.
At the corner, and then says, "Oh, I'm going to putt around the street." Do 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 do. It's like the guy I pass in the morning on his Vespa, and I'm like, "You're crazy."
If I want something with the words high performance in it, and I want 2 tires, I will buy a motorcycle.
Yeah, and the 1000R or whatever it is.
Buy something that would kill me.
Yeah, I'm not going to get a high-performance scooter.
Yeah, that sounds like I'm going to die slowly.
Yeah, that's just not fun. I mean, if we're going to go out, we're going to go out in a big fireball at 150 miles an hour.
Off a cliff.
Absolutely. But, I'm not a fan of that. I'm all about green and going forward. And, hell, I heat my house with pellets from sawdust. So, all about being green, but... High performance scooter, why?
I heat my house with writing a check every month.
Oh, do you? Oh no. No, we use recycled pellets. We use pellets here to heat. Oh yeah, we compost our waste. We're good here. And I have to make up for my carbon footprint for my M3, so that's really where it all goes.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, speaking of pellets, and this is a terrible segue, of course, I do want to talk about Bill Caswell's E30, because this is an incredible story, and we've talked about it. And we actually didn't post anything about it on Bimmerfile when the story broke that he had driven this E30 down to Mexico, and then entered it into the WRC Mexican Rally, and of course finished.
I thought it wasn't actually entered into the rally.
It was entered into the bigger, let's say, the bigger rally that had lots of different sanctioning bodies, lots of different classes. And if you look at all the times as a total, he would have finished 23rd.
I just think this is all an attention-seeking marketing ploy, Gabe.
Well, who's marketing it? Because he didn't have any sponsors going in.
Well, he must be.
BMW doesn't want anything to do with him. BMW, I think individually, the guys there love him. They love the idea. But I think corporate-wide, they don't have anything to do with him. They don't have their logo on this BMW at all.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is he writing a book?
Caswell?
Yeah.
He's getting something out of it, but when he created that, there was nothing. And I have to tell you, he's a good guy. And the fact that he, number one, he lives down the street from me, so that makes him a good guy, no matter what.
Sure. He could be a great guy and all. I just always feel like when you do something like this, there's another reason for it.
There is at this point. There is at this point. But I think there is also a great story. And there is a lot of work. The man is literally welding as we speak on a show floor in Vegas, getting his car ready. He is a really hard worker who's actually creating this himself. So you kind of have to give him some props for that. I mean, he went down there unemployed with money in his savings account. With a $500 car, and did it all himself, and with a co-driver he barely knew, and I'm gonna give him props for it. I think it's fantastic. And now he's gonna go race the Baja 1000.
Well, I would say that's fantastic because he ends up going to the Baja 1000. Then I wish I could do something like that, Gabe.
Well, you can. It's called the 24 Hours of Lemons. Just go out and buy yourself a $500 E30.
And then put $10,000 into it. I'd much rather buy an E36 fully equipped race car.
Well, that may be true. I had the wonderful opportunity to walk around Autobahn Country Club and take a full tour. And I had a chance to go to Fall Line. And this is just a random plug for these guys. I don't really know them that well, but... BMW shop in Chicago, and I got to see all their different race cars. There's photos up in our Flickr stream. It's pretty incredible what guys do with E36s, but it's even more incredible what they do with E92s. I mean, there is an entire level that I mean clearly I'm not. I wasn't born into money, nor am I a doctor. And not to take anything away from the folks who have it and do it every day, but it is another world, and it is awe-inspiring to see these cars turned into race cars and driven on these tracks, you know, every couple of days or so. But the E36, my point is, the E36 is a workhorse, and I those things are everywhere down there.
Yes. Really cheap right now.
They really, really are. The question is, will they get cheaper? I have to think they will. I don't think
you
they're
think?
Rock bottom.
Oh, because yeah, the E46 is going to get you. Yeah, you're probably right.
I think everybody
wants the E30 right now, and I'm still not sure on that.
Everybody wants the E30, and then everybody's going to want the E46. The E36 is going to be the 944 of the M range. It just is. It's going to go down to $2,800, and I hate to say it because I think it's a good car, but it's not. It's never going to be the car.
No, I think you're right. And then, you know, the thing is with the E30, too, the E30 is fantastic. You know, we've covered the spec E30 racing, you know, somewhat this year, and it's fun to watch. And, you know, the guys that do it are so passionate, and, you know, they really dedicate their time, and they do all their own wrenching and everything like that. And it's amazing to watch them go out and compete and have a blast doing it. But for me, I just would like spec E36. I think, you know, it's cheaper right now, I think, than... But getting into E30s for parts anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it better be cheaper because the E36 is going to fall apart. that's the difference. Having owned five of them in my life, I won't own another. I'll say that. I'm done with them. I'm absolutely done with them. I can't do it. E46, sure, love them. Sweet spot for me. But E36, as much as I love the car, drives amazing. You know, just a lot of positives there. You know, it's not for me.
You got to get one that's from, say, northern Alabama that was driven by a retired doctor for weekends and has 8 miles on it. And
that sounds like a very specific car. You're right. That doesn't actually sound interesting. But you know what that means? Ultimately, I'm going to have to replace the radiator because the stupid neck's going to break.
Yeah, but they have a whole kit for that, Gabe. And what does that cost? $250? I mean,
it's just the principle. I've done like 4 of them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right.
And then the dash will warp, and I don't know.
Who needs a dash in a race car?
Well, that's true.
Cut that thing out. Sawzall. Gone.
Right. Well, on that note, on the Sawzall note, I think thus ends another Bimmercast. This is, of course, the Bimmercast. If anybody has any questions, comments, or concerns, or feedback, because, of course, feedback is really wonderful. We love to hear feedback. Please write to us in our contact link on the website, bimmerfile.com. If you have any, if you'd like to share a rating or a comment on iTunes, please feel free. We love the positive, but we also want you to be honest. So feel free to go ahead and do that. And if you have any ideas on topics, we have tons, but we'd love to hear from you. So drop us a line in the contact form again on bimmerfile.com, and we'll certainly get to it.
Bimmerfile.com or Bimmercast does not condone drinking and driving, so we are not driving, even though we've been drinking.
We are not. There's no Bluetooth in use.
No.
Absolutely not. But we do condone drinking and podcasting.
Absolutely.
Just a little bit, though. We need you to always be articulate, Michael, and myself.
I try to be. I mean, you know, my real job is talking, so...
Yeah, and mine too. So let's make sure to practice even more. But until next week or the next time we hear from you, which will be in about a week's time, this is Gabe. Cheers,
Michael. Prost.